Hey, welcome back to the Possibility Show. This is your host, Jovan, and I'm a speaker, trainer, and coach, and an upcoming author. I'm very, very excited. I've been here in Australia for now about 8 days, and I've learned a lot from my training. I'm here for NLP trainers and consultant, and I've seen myself grow so much for the past 1 week. Also my fellow trainers as well. You cannot imagine how we started from the first day until now, and I wish I've taken a video of myself and my other classmates as well. And it's thanks to, of course, our master trainers, which I'm very excited because I'm here and to pick her brains for more information, more strategies that you can use in your life. So let's all welcome our master trainer, Heidi Heron.
Thank you very much, Siobhan. Thank you very much.
Heidi, so for the benefit of the listeners, could you kindly introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So I am Heidi Heron. I am originally, I am American, but I've been living in Australia for the past, off and on, for about 30 some odd years. So Australia is very much home. My career is in NLP or neuro-linguistic programming. And it is just such a fascinating tool about how we can understand how the language of the mind works. I'm a trainer, a coach, a consultant. I'm also an author. So I'm following in your footsteps, Jovan.
No,
backwards.
You.
Just backwards.
You're my model.
happy to be. My doctorate is in clinical psychology, so I hold that as well, which I don't necessarily think makes me a better NLP person, but it gives me more letters after my name or before my name, and it also gives me a little bit richer, in-depth understanding of the human psyche. My master's degree is in adult education. My undergrad degrees are in psychology and communication. I don't actually think any of that makes a difference, truly. I think for me, my life and kind of that introduction to who I am is I'm about integrity, I'm about authenticity, I'm about helping people grow and be the best people they can be. And the tools that I found through NLP, when I stepped into the field of NLP, simply as an interest of understanding myself better in about 1997, those are the skills way above and beyond psychology, communication, or anything else that really allowed me to get out of my shell and to break through my barriers and then find that I could help people do the same in a way that I never learned in any of my university courses.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned integrity, authenticity, and because I can see it and feel it, like for me being a K person, which I learned from NLP, but I'm very curious because you have all those titles you know, you studied a lot.
Yep.
Like doing my own research about you, and you have a lot of like long history of studying.
Yeah.
and what made you really, I'm interested in that journey of also that point where you decided, okay, I'll do this instead of following the normal path.
Yeah. For me, I wanted to follow the NLP path instead of the normal path because I realized that I didn't have the skills to help people. That when I started my undergrad degree in psychology, I had thought, okay, because my plan was to be like a school teacher. And then I thought, well, okay, I could become like a school counselor or something like that. And things shifted while I was in university and I ended up moving from the education path and into human resources. And then I thought, okay, well, I could use these you know, psychology skills and human resources and help people. And I did that for a number of years. So I was in corporate human resources for about 10 years in operational management. And they forget about the human a lot. There was a lot of resources and not a lot of human. And I was like, okay, this is not how I want my path to go. I don't want to just push paper and tell people what to do. And in HR, you know, I don't know about any of your listeners who might be in human resources, but our main answer, the main thing that came out of my mouth was no. Mm. And that was not all that empowering. Mm. When I picked up a book about NLP and I learned that there were so many elements within the psychology and the communications degrees that actually were useful, that were helpful for just me, I was like, I need to know more about this.
Yeah.
And that's how I started that journey. And the educational side, I'm an avid learner. I love learning. Mm. Like right at the moment, I'm talking myself out of doing another master's degree because I'm very busy.
Yeah.
And I don't need another master's degree.
Yeah.
But I want the learning.
Mm.
I want the learning. And Someone said yesterday in their presentations, we did a mission day
presentation. I love mission
day. Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And one of the guys said that he collects badges.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I collect badges, you know, in addition to like the degrees that are on the wall, they're actually in an envelope in a drawer. You know, I'm a MCC, so Master Certified Coach with the ICF. That's in Australia, we have about 30 of them. So, and that's the highest level there you can go. With the Australian Counseling Association, I'm a level 4, which is the highest you can go there. You know, I appreciate the skills that I have, and I share those even through, you know, public speaking and things like that. And I love to do my best and to get to as high as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And I've always done that. Yeah. Always done that. It's part of my programming.
Yeah. And that's also one of the things I was thinking about before starting this podcast was because I've worked kind of like worked with you in a way that you attended your coaching supervisions. Mm-hmm. I'm one of your students in several occasions, and I've really noticed and observed that you are very on point on the things that you want to do. Mm. So that's one of the things I notice about high performers and those who are successful in life. And so I'm curious, how do you manage that for yourself? Like, what are the intricacies? Do you have any structure for that?
Mm, good question. I think it's through two things. One is through goals. So I look at myself every year, probably every month really, and go, okay, what am I doing that could be improved? Because if I'm not growing, I'm just existing. And, you know, who wants to just exist? Can escape by in life. Sometimes it's nice for like a week or a weekend.
Yeah.
But in general, I want to do better. With staying on point, like within class and training, because I waffle. Like in training, I waffle. But I come back to the point because I know my objective. So if it's a goal for myself, if it's a goal for a training course or a supervision or whatever it is, I know my objective, I know my time frame, and I make sure we get it.
Mm.
And I'm, as a trainer, I'm okay to kind of gently, nicely, and kindly, and with love, cut people off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if that's not where we're going, let's come back on task.
Mm.
And that's important for me too, because I think we all have had the experience when we're doing some research online and then we see an article and we're like, oh, let's go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling. Okay.
3 hours later, so I'm aware, come back. I'm doing a program right now called the Living NLP, and there's a guy, Matt, on there. And one of the things that he said really struck a chord with me a couple weeks ago, and I've now printed out a little sign and I have it on my desk at home and at work,
mm-hmm.
and it's stay in your own lane.
Stay in your own lane.
Oh, and for me, nice. That was that aspect of if I'm getting pulled into another direction, somebody else's direction down that rabbit hole, stay in your own lane. Know where you're going, stay in your own lane.
Mm.
So I like that.
Yeah, that's very nice. So stay in your lane. Okay, remember that, guys. And do you ever, maybe this is a redundant question. Do you ever experience setbacks? And if you do, what do you do to overcome them? Or, you know?
Netflix. Absolutely. I think setbacks happen all the time. And, you know, this is a great time in the world even for looking at setbacks. Because who knows what's happening in the next couple weeks or couple of months? I have absolute belief that the highest and best will come.
Hmm.
But when, you know, we're not in dire straits. There's nothing currently wrong with society. We just have to stay home for a while or tune things down. And when setbacks happen for me, if it's a training didn't come off, or, you know, a few years ago, I started a business. It was a corporate training business. And one of the people that we hired basically took the money and ran. And it was just, you know, a lot of money gone. And it was a huge setback. And it actually meant that we never really got that business off the ground. So it's just looking at what is in my control. What is in my control?
Yeah.
You know, another part of my programming, good or bad, I don't know, is I kind of like to be in control, which I think goes to that high achiever.
Yeah.
That if I have a setback, I go, okay, what's next? What's in my control? Sometimes I need a day or two of Netflix and just binge watching and decompressing.
Yeah.
And letting myself off the hook. And then I create a plan and I get started again.
Yeah. And you mentioned about when in your comment just a while ago, and I remember, I think a few days ago, you were mentioning to me and the other, my other classmates, was that you like certainty. And it makes me think about what's happening now in the coronavirus and all the people panicking and all these things. And would you say that all of those panicking, fear, would be related to that form of certainty, that they want that certainty?
Most likely, most likely. You know, there's aspects of needing certainty and uncertainty in life. If something's certain and too certain, it gets boring.
Boring, yeah.
And if things are too uncertain for too long, then we get anxious and we get nervous. So most people need a little bit of a balance between certainty and uncertainty. And I think that when things are not, when we feel out of control and we don't have certainty and we're out of control, then I think that's when panic sets in.
Yeah.
Because I can have control and be uncertain about something.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have not control and not certainty,
okay.
This is, you know, not always a good thing for some people.
Yeah.
And some people thrive in it.
Yeah. And so what will be a good kind of like frame of mind for these people to have in this, you know, like dire times?
First, knowing it's not dire times.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because it's really not. It's really not. What are you in control of?
Mm-hmm.
So even if I'm not in control of where I can go, I'm not in control of when this virus will end. I'm not in control of how much toilet paper is in the store. I am in control with what I do with my day. I am in control of how many times I can wash my hands. I am in control of the tea that I'm drinking. I am in control of what I watch on TV. I am in control of the social media that I consume.
Consume, yeah.
I'm in control. And when I get back that element of I'm in control, then I can start to look for, okay, so what am I certain of?
Mm.
And in this time, I am certain that this too shall pass.
Mm. For sure. For sure. I even have a tattoo for that. Impermanence.
Right.
And I like that you mentioned social media.
Yeah.
And because I also surf. Skim. No. I think Skim. It takes longer than that.
Surf.
And I look at there's two basically kinds of people in social media currently when it comes to this coronavirus. People who when they post about, you know, the panic, the fear, you know, oh no, you know what's
the
gonna
dire
happen.
Time.
And then there's this few people who post about the positive stuff that's happening, you know, like for example, in Italy, I just saw yesterday that dolphins started swimming in the canals. And not only that, in Japan, deer started to go into towns.
Wow.
In China, the monkeys. So now that the towns look like ghost towns because people are all inside, animals are starting to roam and, you know. And so those kind of amazing thing, and the carbon emission is going down. And so yeah, you have definitely control of what you want to consume and
definitely
put in your mind.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
And we will talk about the mind a lot more later as well.
Okay.
And you also mentioned what is in your control.
Mm.
And so I'm also very interested. Do you have any routines that you have to keep you, like, you know, energetic or productive or things like that?
So So I have a morning routine, and I don't know if it keeps me energetic or productive, but it keeps me on track with me. I think that one thing that most people, I was going to say humans, but people work. I think one thing that we as a whole do pretty badly is self-care. Sometimes we put other people first, our jobs first, our kids first, our other stuff first, and don't take ourselves seriously. And so having, for me, my morning routine, which includes some meditation, journaling, yoga, and just me time. You know, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours of just me time. And I wake up early for it, for the most part. Today I let myself sleep in. And for the most part, I wake up early for it. And it just helps me to connect with me. I'm not sure if it helps me be more productive. My guess is it probably does. Because I get to have that time for me.
And then do you wake up at a specific time all the time or like?
5:30, 6 o'clock.
Okay. So you have an alarm for that or you wake up naturally?
I have an alarm for it. Oftentimes, like a lot of people who have alarms for it, they wake up 5 minutes before. So that happens quite frequently. I wake up and go, oh, well, I might as well get up now. Or, oh, I've got 5 more minutes to sleep. Great. One of the two.
Okay. So you mentioned about self-care. And I remember the first time, or it was the second time I attended a group supervision from it was the first time. And so I was kind of like this fresh, you know, fresh NLP-er going into this like, very experienced ones.
I remember this.
You were all talking about self-care, self-love, and all this. And
burnout.
And I was like, what? This is what? And so maybe you can talk more about that so that I think people who is new to that distinction as well, you know, that term, maybe they can learn more as well.
Absolutely. So the supervision is for people who are coaches and therapists using NLP. And I run two supervision groups a month. I run two supervision groups a month online. We see each other. We talk about all kinds of things from client aspects and issues, personal things, how business is going, how we're going. And a few months ago, I think, must have been the first one you joined. Might not have been the most motivational one, but probably one of the most honest ones.
Yes. I love that,
And we were talking about self-care, and there were a few of us who, myself included, out of probably 8 people, like 4 of us were going, yep, we've had enough. Because when we give, and I don't think it's just in that coaching profession, it can be in management, leadership, parenting.
Service.
Anything. I mean, the doctors and nurses.
Yes, I was going to mention it.
Right now. You know, in Australia a few months ago, it was the firefighters and the paramedics. So whatever it is that you do, sometimes when we burn the candle at both ends, when we are so on for other people or on for the good of something, we forget ourselves. And even when, you know, I was still doing my morning routines, but with client work, with business, because I run 2 or 3 businesses, depending on how you look at it. Plus I'm involved in other committees and associations and things. There was a point where I just was like, I got to take a week off or 2 weeks off. And so I'm looking forward to April of having no clients, just do some work, just be. But that happens. It happens that we get exhausted, and it might not be a physical exhaustion. It might be a mental exhaustion. And some people still try and push through because they feel they have to, which is also a choice. And we need to earn money. We need to, you know, find the toilet paper. We need to do all this stuff. But there's also an element that if we allow ourselves 5 minutes, 10 minutes, take a bath.
And really be in the bath.
Go and watch the sunrise or the sunset with someone else or by yourself and just chill out. Give yourself a break, then that can be self-care too. And there's probably less opportunity then for burnout or aggravation or exhaustion on that level.
Nice. Thanks for sharing that. So one of the questions that I received from some of your fans.
Oh, interesting.
What is Probably one or two of your proudest moment in your life.
I like this question. One or two of my proudest moments in my life. Well, you have to give me a moment to think about that. I'll think about it and talk at the same time. Oh boy, there's a lot of stuff that I'm very proud of. I think that it might sound a bit silly, but I get lots of proud moments all the time. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of NLP practitioner trainings, that level one training or any of them, you know, this one, I'll probably get teary, because it's not about me, but it's the delivery, it's the integrity, it's all of that stuff that people feel NLP. And I'm so extremely proud of that.
Yeah.
And for them, but for me, but for us. And I know that there's so many different like NLP courses out there. And a lot of people, it saddens me that they will leave an NLP training and go, okay, that was great. That was good. Maybe I can use some of that in life. But our students walk out like empowered.
Yeah.
And I am so proud of that.
Yeah.
Completing my education, so very proud of that. You know, my dad did his university. I was the only other kid that in, you know, both sides, my mom and dad's sides, that did university. So I was very, very proud of that as well. Just being successful and being me, I'm proud of that. I'm trying to think of, there's lots of little moments that I have anchored in as that sense of pride. Mm-hmm. I'm also very aware that nothing is my own. So my sense of pride, my intention for my sense of pride is never to be egotistical with it, but humble with it.
Yeah, for sure. When you were sharing about how you're gonna feel like after the trainers, it triggered my own story about how it, and I think I relate to it because I gave it all, like, you know, what I think would benefit these people that I was serving.
I mean, the work I do, you know, the lives that I've touched, the coaching that I do, the thank you notes or the hugs I get, I'm proud of every single one.
Nice. Wow. Anyone that stands out?
What, client-wise or...
Yeah, or like, you know...
Like a moment.
A moment.
Oh. You know, not right now. Probably in 5 minutes. So let my brain, you know, jingle on that one for a moment. I'm sure something will come to my mind.
And so while your unconscious mind is is thinking about that, let's talk about something that you're very, very, very good at. And you've been doing this for like 20 over, more than that, I think, 20 over years.
Training now for 20 years.
Yeah.
And over like 23 years since I've been involved.
And that's NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And so one of the questions from one of your other fans as well is that what makes NLP different from other tools out there for personal development or coaching or training?
Good question. I think that NLP is different because it's not something that is so structured. So compared to other like therapeutic or coaching modalities like cognitive behavioral therapy, EMDR, lots of those things, there's a lot of structure and rigor. Not that there's not structure and rigor to NLP, but it's flexible structure. It's not diagnosing somebody with a problem and just treating the problem. It's identifying, for me, the biggest difference is it's identifying what do you want.
Yeah.
I remember in my master's degree, sorry, my doctorate in psychology, we had to write a paper and diagnose a fictitious character utilizing three or four different modalities. And I did not use NLP, but I chose three or four different ones like emotional, rational, behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, cognitive therapy, something else. And every single one of them diagnosed my character with different psychological disorders. I actually chose the ugly duckling as my fictional character. And, you know, the ugly duckling who's born into a team of a family of swans. And he's the ugly one.
Yeah.
And they treat him that way. Not one of those modalities asks him what he wants. It all just labels him based on his behavior. And to me, NLP is such a different tool because one of the first things that I ask is, what do you want? What's your desired state? Where do you want to go? And then we've got all these tools, these fascinating tools that can help me to overcome something or build a resource or change something, a mindset, a behavior, a belief. And that is so different than so many other things.
Yeah.
And from a personal development standpoint, I can use all those tools for me. So when I find that there's a belief or there's something holding me back, I can go, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I can apply all of that to me. I can't think of many other tools out there. I'm sure they are, they exist. I can't think of many other tools that is so versatile that I can use it with others and with myself and get to somebody's outcome.
And I totally get it because when I did NLP last year, one of the biggest things that I'm able to use like really instantly, and it has huge impact in how I was or how I was being, was managing my state. And I think I was telling yesterday as well, during my mission day, I would go into this like a bouts of depression, anxiety, and all this. And after learning NLP, then I mean, I would be aware of it, and then I can immediately tackle it, and then done.
Absolutely.
So that's fantastic. And so what will be the difference between being an NLP coach, psychotherapist, and, you know, a clinical psychologist or those kind of professions?
I think the main difference from my own experience is the traditional psychologist doesn't have the tools to help somebody. You know, I've got my doctorate in clinical psychology. I know how to diagnose a problem, and I know how to reframe someone. I know how to talk them through the problem. I know how to decipher it and help them to understand why they're feeling that way, why, what triggers them, how to move away from those triggers, but not how to help someone. And I think that's why people are in therapy for years and years and years, is because they're learning how to cope with a problem. And by understanding it, it might take away some of the layers of it. But the general aspect is, if you're depressed, you're always going to be depressed. And you need to manage your depression. If you are anxious and have anxiety, you are always going to be that way, and you have to manage it. Where a traditional coach will, not NLP coach, a traditional coach will identify, like, here's a goal for somebody, their desired state, and they will motivate them, they'll create the plans, they'll create the steps, they'll help motivate and move them through the steps. But if there's a block, an interference, a behavior, a fear, anxiety, depression, whatever it is, they'll go, well, keep going. And they don't have the skills.
Just break through.
Breakthrough. You can do this. And they're like, but I am fearful. Break through the fear. I can't. Do it anyway. I can't. And then they need to go to the psychiatrist. And, and NLP bridges that. So it looks at where a person has been, where they want to be. We do look at, you know, what was your childhood like and where did this come from? But not from a, let's like talk till the cows come home. I want to figure it out, because as the coach, my job, or therapist, NLP coach or therapist, my job is to put your puzzle together, kind of break it apart and put it together. Find those patterns, the emotions, beliefs, behaviors, habits that's holding that pattern there. Let's figure out what you want and what's stopping you from getting there. Clear the interferences. Build the resources. Get someone there.
And it, I've before learning NLP, I've also done a bit of coaching, positive psychology and all these things, strengths. And what I really find very shocking, I think that's the right word. When I started coaching using NLP, sometimes I would do it in one session. And I was like, what? Like, you know, and it's my client saying that, oh, I'm done. I'm good. Like, you know, it was fantastic. And they were, and maybe we can schedule another one, you know, maybe in 2 weeks' time, just to make sure. But right now I'm good.
Fine.
It was
It's amazing. Like for stuff that would generally be, big things. Like I work with big things and people that have had these patterns and big things for years and years and years. And my average, I work with people generally between about 2 and 6 sessions. Sometimes a little bit more. Sometimes it's just one because they need to know where they're going. Because oftentimes people don't know where they're going and they just get stuck and they need help figuring that out. And when they know, they're like, oh, okay, I'll go in that direction. And sometimes it's a little bit more, but generally not, because we're working with the unconscious mind and the patterns, not the problem.
And that's one of the biggest things that I learned as well when I did my practitioner is that just trust the unconscious mind, let it sit. And I experienced that in my clients as well after doing the session, and then they'll be like there's a bit of shift there, but then after a few days they would call me or message me and say, wow, this happened, like they'll be shocked themselves.
And to me, that's the most wonderful change, where somebody's like, yeah, I feel different. Like in the session, I feel like there's something different. And then life happens, and they're like, and this happens for me too with NLP. It's like, wow, I reacted differently. I did that differently. I didn't get upset. I just did whatever it was. And it's shocking to even me sometimes or my clients that, wow, I didn't have to think about doing something different. I just did it different.
Did it differently. And I think as coaches, that's our job, right? Like to have them be or get what they want immediately as they can, and then like,
Absolutely.
okay, bye-bye. And it's not like, okay, come back next week or come back next week again, and then the following, And so and I'm sure a lot of people will be hearing this, wow, like this is amazing. And I'm also curious, you've done this for so long, and what kept you going at it? Like
I
what are
love
those
it.
one or two reasons?
I love it. I love in training the light bulbs going off. I love the ahas, the moment somebody realizes,
Same.
oh, and that oh might be, I've been doing this thing my whole life and I don't have to. I learned how to do a certain behavior in a certain way and I can change it. I'm in charge of my mind and my life. I'm in charge of my body. The thoughts I have impact. I can choose what to think. From a client perspective, I love helping people. It will be the first thing, like out of the training and coaching, at some point in time when I slow down, it'll probably be the first thing that slows down the coaching side so that I can give more time to writing and podcasts and videos and all the other stuff. But I continue to do that because I know it makes a difference. Talking about what makes you proud, like a whole bunch of client examples have come into my mind. And again, it's not about me because it's their lives, but just the impact that I've helped them have. There was a girl, I'm still working with her with lots of different things, but she started seeing me probably mid last year and she was numb. And I got a list of her medications that she was on, and she was on about 7 or 8 different psycho drugs that just numbed her. And so a few months ago, she did an in-clinic 10-day stay where they cleansed her off of her meds. And she's currently on 2, but the doctor will take her off another one. So she's coming off of lithium soon. And she has a sparkle in her eye. She actually feels. She can laugh. She can smile. She can feel. And so much, like she's gone through the system for years, which is how she got on all those meds. And in just a really a few sessions, and it's more than the 6 to 8 for her, because the first, like when I was working with her last year, she couldn't feel. And
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
fun to watch her do processes now. And now I work with her once a month just on what's coming up. And when she's doing the NLP techniques and stuff, which sometimes are closed-eyed visualization type things, her body jerks around and she's moving around. She's like, what is that? And I said, that's your neurology shifting. And she's like, Wow.
No, she ended this.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And that cool. keeps me going.
Wow. Yeah, and I get totally ready with aha, the whoa. Like, yeah, all of this. And I think that's the in the cusp of that, you know, like creating that possibility.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I really love that. And besides that, and of course, I can see now that you and Lorelai doing trainers training and us going out there and creating that as well, it becomes that ripple effect.
Absolutely.
Out there. And so how do you feel about that when you are creating those possibilities for other people as well?
In what way?
Like, did you had that intention when you started, or it was just more of like, you know, I want to help people right now?
No, it's been an intention for a while. So there's a metaphor that goes with it. I want to touch on the possibilities, go back to that
yeah,
for a
sure.
second. Because I think there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of workshops, a lot of books, a lot of things that build the possibility. What I hope we do a good job with is not just build the possibility that you can change, you can be better, you can live your best life, because there's a lot of that out there. But what's missing, and I hope we bring in, is there's a lot of possibility and here's how you can do it.
Mm.
Here's a toolbox of skills and techniques
yeah.
of how you
yeah,
can
yeah,
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just, to me, it's empty promises.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone to, you know, lots of workshops and lots of hyped up, rah-rah kind of stuff. And I walk out going, yes, it's possible for me. I wish I knew how.
Mm.
Yay, I can do, but how? And then people just go straight back into how they've always been doing it.
Mm.
Where I think what I hope we offer in a very elegant kind of way is that toolbox that says you can, and here's how, and here's how to maintain it.
Okay.
Back to the other one of, I forget the question already. Was
intention.
It always the intention? My metaphor for what I do from a training perspective is I see myself as an acorn in a forest. And that acorn or that pine cone, more of a pine cone, grew into this beautiful tree. And dropped its own pine cones, which grew trees, which dropped pine cones, which grew trees, which dropped pine cones, which grew trees, which dropped, you get the drift.
Yeah.
And so I am one of those trees in that forest.
Mm.
And I want to inspire people to be better than me, stand on my shoulders, go spread this stuff out there and do it in a way that builds possibility and gives people that toolbox of how to live that possibility.
Yeah, and very interesting again, because yeah, whatever we say is kind of like, I don't know why. I think a few nights ago, I was talking to Rachel and Desmond, who are my buddies here in Australia. We all came from Singapore. And my journey as well is kind of similar to that, like, being opened up, you know, the personal development program, being opened up with these new possibilities, new distinctions. And then I did that several times. I probably attended a few that gave me, you know, some tools here and there. And so my journey was like that, going from opening up, going deep, going even deeper. And now, now that I am, like what you said, when the student is ready, the master will come. Now I have this toolbox. Now I feel like Batman, right? You know, like Batman, he recluse himself and learned about the martial arts and then came out. And then because he is now this multimillionaire, he is a multimillionaire and he created all these gadgets and tools. And now I feel I'm like that. I have with the NLP tools that I have.
Yeah.
And it's just up to my own creativity to use them.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so that's
And I think that's... I don't know how to say this in an elegant way, but that's not the same for all NLP trainings.
Mm.
I've experienced as a student, as a coach, as a trainer in multiple different trainings, and we've had lots of students like come and redo their NLP level one practitioner, or they've come into master practitioner from somewhere else. And it's not the same. So sometimes those courses give the tools, but not the possibilities, or they still build the possibilities, but they don't really tell you how to use the NLP tools. It's like, yes, it's possible. Here's these tools. good luck.
Yeah.
So not all NLP is created equal. I wish it were,
mm-hmm.
but it's not.
Yeah, which is like out there in the world.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, and so what I'm sharing, so that for the listener's reference, what I'm sharing is really my experience with NLP yeah. worldwide, which is serendipity, to be honest.
Yeah, very much.
Very, yeah. And when I committed to my coaching, I was just researching, because I had one particular coaching style that I wanted to, and it was in the US. And I was concerned about the logistics, and I have to fly there, and it's a 1-year program, etc., etc. When I was researching in ICF website, then I found your website, right. which is NLP right. Worldwide, and I checked the next training was the following week, and it was like just perfect, you know. Yeah. And like what I said, when I was ready, then you Boom. Guys were there. Yeah. Wow.
A walk down memory lane.
Yeah. It has been a very, very lovely journey, like full of gratefulness.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Cool. Yeah, I have some quick fire questions okay. that I would like
Let's
to ask
for
you.
It.
Whew. All right. And I mean, I can talk about this all day. No, this is the standard questions from
oh,
our
cool.
show. So, yeah, first questions. Well, first question. What are one or two books that made a huge shift yeah. in your perspective in life?
For me, there was a book called one of them is Change Your Life, Change Your Thinking and Change Your Life by Richard Bandler. And he's one of the founders of NLP, and it just put some simple terms to my thoughts creating my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I think the name is something like Life According to Florence Scovel Shinn. I think I mentioned this book a couple days ago. Oh, no, I didn't. Not in the class. Yeah, it was on a different thing. Life or something like that. So Life According to Florence Scovel Shinn. And Florence was a lady that wrote this book in probably like 1850 or something like that,
wow.
a long time ago.
Yes.
And it is a book that is just so much about NLP. It's about the mindset, life, choices, and living life. And it's got lots of good affirmations and stuff like that in it. So those two are awesome.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I remember I have a Richard, but I'm not sure if it's the same yeah. one. So the second question is, what is an unforgettable failure that created an unexpected opportunity or success for you?
Unexpected failure. Probably all of them are unexpected failures. You should give me pre-warning about these questions. Probably wouldn't be quickfire in that case. Unexpected failure. I would say relationship stuff.
Okay.
So in life with relationships, with different guys that I've been in relationships, I think the ones that didn't end on my accord, I had put into that box of failures, but every single one of them I've learned from and learned more about what I am, who I am, what I want, what I'm willing to budge for and be flexible for, and what I'm not. So they're probably some of the best learning opportunities.
Okay. Yeah, that's a different answer from some of my guests. Next question. What is one of your most worthwhile investments that you've ever made? This can be anything.
Anything.
Yeah, money, energy.
Me. I would say me. I've spent, and it's a financial thing, but it's a time thing as well. I spend a lot of money to travel and train. I go somewhere every year to do a workshop, to do a course, to do a retreat. And in addition to, you know, getting up half an hour or an hour and a half early and having my time, educating myself, learning, reading books, going somewhere, spending the money and spending the time on me, even if it's not for business. You know, I just went to a meditation retreat a couple months ago, and that was like the highlight of last year. And it was 3 days, beautiful, wonderful, and it was for me, for no other reason, just for me.
Nice. Right. If you can travel back in time and only meet your 15-year-old self and give one advice, what would it be?
Live. Yeah. And I don't mean that instead of not living. NLP helped me a lot. So my 15-year-old self didn't say boo to people. She didn't really have a social life. She was very, very shy. She was very lacking confidence, very introverting. And I would have told her, live. Get involved with something at school. I had a job. I had a part-time job at McDonald's. I had some friends there, but I had friends there and then I would go home. And I would go out. I would do those things as a kid does, but I wouldn't be involved. Mm. And I would tell her that when you get into university, that 15-year-old, when you go to university, because I went away and lived in the dorms and all that stuff, get involved. Get involved in student life. Get involved in a club. Get involved in, I was in a sorority, which is a girls' club, but get involved in that because it took me a couple years to get involved in that. Get involved. Live life.
Wow. Nice. Okay. What makes you feel alive?
What makes me feel alive? Being with people, getting things done, accomplishing tasks, and beauty.
Beauty.
Beauty. Beauty in the ocean, in the wind, in people, in seeing people's potential. You know, even yesterday, listening to everybody's mission statement, I was fully alive. Mm. That's beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. All right, last two questions. What does success look like to you?
Oh, it looks like following dreams, but getting those dreams created. Coming to fruition with those dreams, big or little.
Yeah.
That's success.
Yeah. And what does happiness look like to you?
Happiness. Happiness, probably same. I would say to me, happiness and success are almost the same thing.
Mm. Nice. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're
and
very
if the listeners want to get to know you more or probably would like to get in touch and all of this, where would be the best avenues for that?
Probably two websites, nlpworldwide.com and heidiheron.com. Mm. And from there, you can also find my YouTube channel and watch lots of videos and get to know me on that side as well.
Yeah, nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for all the interesting questions.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you.
Oh man, I'm so fired up after that conversation with Heidi. I've learned so much just by asking her a few questions, and I hope you have learned as well. You know, there's really something about having conversations with the people that I admire in my life, and not just admiring them from a distance, but having conversations with them and interacting with them, working with them, and that those are the people that I really get to admire from up close. What I notice also is that I do have some similarities with her, and that makes me feel in a way good, because then I know I can be like her someday, right? Someday. And just like what I said in the interview, I want to model her as well. And there are other stuff, other things that I learned during this conversation that I want to model more. I want to model more. And from what she shared about her morning routine, I really love that, because it's not just about sharing what she does, but what it means for her. And I think what you want to get from this as well is that whatever you want to do, like your routines and all, what does it mean for you, right? And all those things that she shared about self-care, some tips about what to do during uncertain times, and how she overcomes setbacks. Those are very, very valuable stuff. And I hope you have learned at least one thing from what she shared. Maybe don't just learn one thing. This is the episode that I want to tell you that. Learn a lot of things from her, you know, from what she shared. And again, I really want to thank you for supporting the podcast. If you find this episode useful, please share it to your friends and family. Share the love, my friend, share the love. And what I always say, I'll see you on the next episode. Always think about possibilities.